is a hot July night in the Midwest, and you're going to crave some Dairy Queen. What are you picking up?
Oh, I usually do the chicken strip basket.
If it's a hot night, you're like, you're thinking.
Oh, you mean like I'm going there to get ice cream specifically?
Maybe it's me, maybe it's you, but I think their chicken strip baskets are good. If someone's like, hey, let's go to DQ, I'm not thinking about chicken at that point immediately.
Okay. Well, listen, as someone who used to work at a Dairy Queen, I'm very familiar with their entire menu. It depends on my mood. Sometimes I'm happy with just like a medium twist cone. If I'm doing a blizzard, cookie dough or Oreo are always good. Maybe
do you ever do a dip cone there?
Yeah. Sometimes if I'm feeling froggy,
brought the cherry back.
They got rid of it.
It was gone and it's back.
That's not right. That should always be there.
I know.
I usually get the chocolate dip one anyway, so I don't really care. But yeah, that's usually it for me. It's pretty simple. Whenever I worked at Dairy Queen and I put on like 15 pounds
easily,
I would usually have a strawberry milkshake with a mushroom Swiss burger.
Okay.
For my meal. But
I get Dairy Queen. A blizzard. It's cookie dough blizzard with extra cookie dough. Mm-hmm. Add peanut butter.
Okay.
And that's the tweet.
That's fantastic. It's
very good.
That sounds like a little bit of heaven. Bobby, why are we here on a Thursday?
I know. Can you check the audio while I'm doing this? We are here on a Thursday night because Wednesday, both of our internets shit the bed. Thanks, Charter Spectrum. You both fucking suck. Chase couldn't join up tonight. He had something else going on. So Johnny and I decided that we were going to have an off schedule hangout sesh with the OG podcast crew here at the Casual Hour. It's March 28th. It's a walk-off. It is episode 368. Johnny and I are going to be talking heavily about Dragon's Dogma this evening. And then we've got some news stories to get through, not limited to, but thinking about a Marvel video game, Overwatch. BioWare is back in the news. Our favorite, Baldur's Gate 3. So lots of stuff that we're going to talk about. You should come and see us here in just a little bit. So, Johnny, since Chase isn't here tonight, it's just you and I, we decided we are going to be talking exclusively about Dragon's Dogma 2. Yep. And before we get into that, can you tell me what your prior experience with Dragon's Dogma was?
I did not play the game when it originally came out. I did put...
Let me see when that first came out.
2010, I think.
Yeah, because it was remastered.
No. Yeah. Was it the same? Was it 2010? I feel like it was the same year.
I think that's too old. It's 2012.
2012?
May 22nd, 2012.
But still, it's been a while.
Yep.
It's been long enough that, you know, if a game...
Cult following.
Yeah, if it's been dormant for that long, usually you're not going to get a sequel. But that remaster came out, and I think it did pretty well. I bought it. That's the first time I
played it. I played it on the Switch. That's where I first played it.
Same. Yep.
Yeah. And I think it did pretty well on there.
It did. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was a Xbox 360 game at that point.
Yeah.
I put maybe 15, 20 hours into it. Had a good time. But it did not grab me the way that Dragon's Dogma 2 has. And
let me ask a follow-up to that statement really quick. Do you think that I was thinking if you would have played it when it first came out, you would have probably not had any time with like a Soulsborne game yet, right?
No, I didn't get into Souls until 3 is when I really got
when was that
2016.
Okay, so by the time you played Dragon's Dogma, you've already played a Souls game, or is that not true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because that remaster came out in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I wonder, we'll get into it a little bit, but for me, I think this is what I want from a Souls gameplay.
Yeah, and you want the goofy monster hunter shit,
yeah,
but it's also a pretty serious action RPG.
Yeah. And I think that like there are some things here where you can get fucked over pretty quickly, like you would in a Souls game. Mm-hmm. And so the problem
is plot your journey.
Oh, 100%. Like it is dire. By the way, I'm all over the place right now, but let me just tell you this. I did not know this, and it's going to save you time and energy if you don't know it either. The tents that you carry, the camp packs.
You only need one.
You only need one.
Yep.
You know how long I've been carrying?
I carried all those tents, and the only reason I went down to one is because I kept offloading them to my other pawns.
That died?
And then they would leave or die. They would leave because when they leave your game, all of the stuff that you've given them goes into your storage
at
the inn. And so I'd be like, I need to rest. And it's like, you don't have a tent, motherfucker. What are you talking about? Like, I guess I should just give this to Bobby, my pawn Bobby.
The game. My lord, thank you, my lord, for this gracious gift. my lord.
My legs are quite weary, my lord.
My lord.
Bobby is a very powerful sorcerer in my game, or mage.
You're a very powerful sorcerer in my game.
And he has the simple voice, and he's just, good boy. You're already going to be going on an adventure.
So I'm very similar to you. I had very limited experience with the series. I played it for the first time on the Switch. I downloaded it when I got a PC because I heard there were some cool mods for it. I rather liked it, but I just ended up not having the time to devote to it. But I knew it had some of the secret sauce. Dragon's Dogma 2.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It is far and above a better video game to me. But before we get too much into it here, let's just kind of... I think this is a hard game to spoil from a story perspective because I've got about, I don't know how many hours right now into it.
30.
I'm probably a little bit more than you, but I am almost level 40 in the game.
Yeah. I just hit level 25 earlier.
Yeah, so I'm doing a lot of big shit in the game. I've seen quite a bit. So I think just for the peace of mind for those who are listening, we will not intentionally be talking too much about story stuff, but we might be talking about encounters and locations that are really cool if you have your own story with it. We'll be talking about class-specific things. We're going to be talking about some of the mechanics, and we're going to talk a little bit about the reception the game's having. And I think that's the conversation that you're going to get to hear tonight with Johnny and I. So I'll kick us off really quick, man. I think this is currently my favorite thing I've played this year.
Really?
Yeah.
You think it's outpaced Helldivers for you?
Maybe. It's very close. I'm having so much fun with this game. I don't think it's better than I don't think it's better than Helldivers for me, because Helldivers has just been a fucking miracle game. You know that. But for this one, I am so sucked into the weirdness. I don't think I realized I needed a game like this. Like, I've been craving a game like this, I think. And it's been a fucking treat, dude. Like, every night I just, like, kind of have my jaw hit the floor doing something stupid.
Because you never know what's going to happen.
No.
You could be retreading a place that you've walked through five times 100%. Before. And some crazy thing happens, and it's the coolest thing ever. Like, the emergent gameplay that's happening... Yep. Is some of the coolest shit I've ever seen in like in a big open world action game like this that does, you know, it wants you to take your time and see the world that they have crafted. Like fast travel does exist in some forms. There are those passage tokens, I think is what they're called.
Yeah.
And there's certain points that you can quick travel to on the map.
The proto stone or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. I only have two places I can warp to right now. There's also the ox carts, which
ox carts are pretty great.
They're pretty great, especially because most of the time, if you sit on a bench, like, or ride an ox cart to pass the time, you can doze off.
Yep.
And sometimes you'll wake up and just monsters are attacking and
everywhere.
You gotta go take care of it. And then you can go back to taking your nap after that.
This the cool thing about the systems that they have within Dragon's Dogma is it's a game based on vocations and also a really cool pawn system. So when you create your character, you create a pawn as well, and that's your main pawn. They're always with you. They can die, but you can bring them back. Outside of that, there's two vacant seats with your party that you can rotate other pawns into that don't belong to you. People create them. They wander the world. Think ghost cars when you're playing a game like Forza Horizon, and you might see one of your friends, what is it called, the Drivatar going around that you can go and race. These are pawns that some, like Johnny mentioned that I'm a big sorcerer. I made Johnny a tiny sorcerer in my game, but you can change vocations even on your main character and level those up. So there's a really cool element to it. You can find other pawns that have like a certain level, gear, etc., and you can favorite those and you can give them gifts. It's a really unique system. It reminds me like how I felt when the Lord of the Rings game came out with the Nemesis system. Like, it's not the same thing, but it's such a cool concept within a game. But like,
it is. It's also they're learning or bringing things that they have learned
totally
in other people's games, and that there'll be commentary like that. I've just been doing a lot of wandering around on the map, and I'll find something cool, and one of the pawns is with me. It's like, oh, I'll have to tell my master about this whenever I go back to my world. And I'm like, that's pretty cool.
There was one time where I was going, and they're like, hey, there's a cave I've been to around the corner here. Do you want me to take it to you? And there's like four simple commands that you can give to your pawns. And there's one that's just go. If you press go when they make a comment in the world, that tells the AI, okay, they want to follow me. I'm going to go take them to it. The other thing I found out, if you're in your quest log or your quest book, you might see a blue palm or a blue hand next to a quest. That means that one of the pawns in your party knows that mission and can tell you about shit with
it. That's what that means?
That's what that means. Yep.
I was trying to figure that out. I was like, why do some of these have this hand icon next
to it? So that means if you select it, the pawn will guide you to where you need to go, which is really cool. So the missions that I've been on, like I killed a dragon with a pawn group and they're like, holy shit, they were freaking out about it. So now that mission, when they go to play it with their creator, they'll have that knowledge of the mission from playing it with me, which is a really cool. I kind of pitched this to somebody at work. I was like, what if Kojima made Skyrim, but good? And
the nuclear disarmament thing. Yep. Like he had shit like,
That's in the fucking game.
Yeah.
No.
What?
Dragon's fucking plague is the nuke. Do you not realize this? Have you not read the link I sent you and Jason?
I've read.
Okay, hang on.
I must have missed that part of it because there is this dragon's plague thing that is.
Yes, this is the problem with it. There is basically the movie It Follows is happening in this game. And there's a plague that your pawn can contract from visiting pawns in your party, and it only infects them. And if it goes unchecked, if you do not take care of it, your pawn will wake up one morning, fucking emerge as a dragon, and then go nuclear and kill every NPC around them.
I have seen that. Yes.
So,
how do you prevent it? Because I've only seen people
when you are
trying to figure out what it is, like what causes it.
Yeah. So
they figured that part out yet?
Not figured out what causes it from what I've seen. However,
there are clues.
If you are, there's a few things that happen. The first one, and this is what you got to look out for. If you are going to get a new pawn, look at their eyes. Their eyes will be red.
Okay.
And they will flash a little bit. That is your number one sign. The other thing that'll happen, they'll start to like hold their head, like their head hurts. They'll become defiant and not take your orders. They'll basically tell you to shut up. And the only way to do it is you have to kill the pawns that have it. And then if your main pawn gets it, you have to kill your main pawn and then bring him back.
Throw him into a river.
Yep. That's how you do it. Feed him to the brine. So
what is the brine?
I don't know what the brine is.
Is it just an excuse that they didn't have to make a swimming animation?
I mean, that's what I think, but the game itself, here's what I know. I know that in this game, there is a imposter arisen that is on the throne telling people that these lies, you are the true arisen and you're trying to get that conveyed. Apparently there is a world changing event, Johnny, that will take place in this story some point. And I think the brine might have something to do with it. That's just my gut. I have nothing to go off of but my gut, but that changes things apparently in this game. I don't know where that happens, but that's a coming. So, wild shit.
Hell's coming.
I kind of pitched to you where this game was sitting with me. Where is it having as a profound of an impact on you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it when I'm not playing it. I'm playing it as much as I possibly can. And I'm just so enthralled and engrossed whenever I am in the middle of it that it's a shame that it has so many
stink on it right now. Yeah. Yep.
But at the same time, that's not really it's not really disrupting my enjoyment of the game. And I think it's right up there with Helldivers for me. Helldivers, I think, is probably still
same,
like probably still my favorite thing I played this year. For a lot of reasons. But we've also just had more time with it. And
yeah, this is a special game though.
I feel like I've seen a fraction of what
100%.
Dragon's Dogma 2 has to offer. I still haven't unlocked. I know you did the Mystic Spearman, right?
Spearhand.
Spearhand. I haven't unlocked that yet.
I got that, and I got the Magic Archer unlocked. I got the Sorcerer. I've got the
Sorcerer. Warrior. I have Warrior. Those are the two that
I think I don't have Trickster, and I don't have what's the one like War something?
Yeah, the War Master.
Yeah, that's the one that's like
the one that's, a little bit that can do everything except for the ultimate attacks. I've spent the most time as a fighter and a thief. Thief is fucking great. I was fighting an ogre earlier today, and I just got the rope attack. And he started to stumble, and I yanked his ass down and stabbed him in the face with my twin blades. I got the bomb with the thief. Did you ever get that one?
Yeah, sure did.
Where you can plant the bomb on the monster. Yep. And just, I was fighting a minotaur last night. It was just at a camp. I just needed to rest, and he was there, and I couldn't rest obviously until he was gone.
Yep.
So I planted two of those suckers on his face, and I blew both of his horns off.
Oh my god! Really?
Yeah. I was like, this is made by Monster Hunter people.
Oh yeah, I mean that makes complete sense. If I can
blow parts off this guy, and just like in Monster Hunter, when you blow those parts off, it gave me extra Minotaur horns that I could go pick up afterwards.
Dude, how fucking good is it in this game? This is something I hope that comes over to Monster Hunter. Also, side note, it's kind of bonkers that they never had more crossover stuff with Dragon's Dogma and Monster Hunter.
I know.
That's very strange. Right.
They have a lot of the same vibes. Like
they do. They do. And you could easily bring some of these things over. All that to be said, what I hope they do carry over this time around, when you get a beastie up against the ropes and the music kicks in with the horn section, basically telling you, hey, this thing's fucking toast. Go at it. I don't think there's been a moment in a game that gets me more hyped when that happens. And I got to just share with you, you caught me when this moment happened the other night. I think we were both feeling pretty good after a few sandwiches. This is one of the best moments I've ever had in a video game, period. Like, full stop. My class's ability has this thing where you put the spear in front of you and it starts to spin. It makes a vortex. And then you blast it like a force attack. It's just insanely powerful. I can launch goblins and humans like hundreds of yards with it. But if you don't hit anything, you volley a shot of power that has the same pathing as a golf ball. So I was fighting an ogre. It got a hold of me and threw my ass. I land and I immediately start to do this attack. He turns around and starts to walk at me right when I launch it. It hits him, David and Goliath style, between the fucking eyeballs. And the music just immediately swells up and his arms are going and he falls backwards. And everybody just fucking annihilated him.
Wails on him.
It was just one of those things that you talked about where I think why I love this game is that was an unscripted moment.
Yeah.
And
that's,
just,
that's, yeah.
It,
the emergent moments that happen in that game are incredible. I was wandering around. I went to this place called the Ancient Battlefield.
Yep.
I don't know if you've been there, but I saw it was a really old battlefield. And in while I was walking this path over to my left, I see a Cyclops fighting a dragon.
Fuck. And
I just stood there and watched it. The dragon won, obviously.
Yeah.
But there were also these ballistas.
Yep.
There was a path you could take into some woods. And there was a small ballista up on a hill. And then there was also a castle. And I ended up, I used the small ballista on the dragon while it was still fighting the ogre. And it came and fucked my shit up. So then I was like, okay, all right. That's not going to work. So I was like, let's see what's in that castle. So I climbed up in the castle. There's an even bigger ballista up there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay.
Is this right outside? Is this by Melf?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's you have to go. You can get there from Melf.
Okay. Okay.
And I found something there. I want to ask you, maybe off.
Well,
because it is a spoiler, but
yeah.
But yes, yeah, so I shot that big ballista at it. That really pissed it off. By this point, the Cyclops was dead. So I see it down. It like looks up at me. And I see like all this lightning and shit crackling around it. And then a second later, snap, I'm dead because it got lightning bolts at me from that far away.
Holy shit.
It was incredible. I loved it. It was great. I wasn't even mad that I died. I was like, that's I'm not ready to fight this thing.
I was on a bridge. I had fought a pretty big thing on the bridge. And my character, I'm playing as a Mystic Spearhand. I think that's what it's called. Look that up for me while I'm telling you a story. I think that's what I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I'm stabbing it because like that's like the finishing blow. You just impale it in its chest and that's how you kill it. I did that and I'm like, okay, cool, that's over with. Like immediately after that happened, this like black blur hit the screen, and all of a sudden I've been picked up by a harpy. And it just like fucking carries me off the bridge and just drops me. It wasn't even in the fight. It just happened to be fucking driving by.
It just wanted to mess up your day.
It's like this fucking prick. And so it picks me up and drops me off the bridge, kills me right after that. I had to do the whole fight over again. It's a game that doesn't hold your hand. It's a game that there's so many little things that you could pick up on from like getting side quests to start. There's really cool things that like you can find not only these other abilities, these vocations, but there's like maester skills that you can go and learn. And so you end up doing these quests that unlock hidden abilities within these classes that are really OP. There's certain things that'll drop weapons that is awesome. Like I've had a mage that can just enhance my blades. So anytime there's an elemental weakness that somebody in my party knows, the mage will just enhance my spear and give it, you know, ice or fire or something. It's really fucking cool.
I love that. I found the elves today.
Dude, I was going to ask you about that because I thought that was fucking wild. Have you figured out how to talk to them?
No.
That's the other thing.
I showed up and one of the pawns was like, you can tell that they don't want us here. It's like, okay. It's like, is there anything like I don't think I've done that much of the main quest. I keep going out doing a little adventuring and then I come back to town and I do the next leg of the main quest and doing side quests while I'm out in the world.
I do think before we like put a bow on this.
Yeah,
we should talk a little bit about, and you alluded to it. You said there's some technical stuff with it of today, which is again, March 28th. This is sitting at a 55% positive on 44,219 reviews on Steam. It came in negative. It has gotten to a mixed state. There's a lot of things that people are upset about on this game. outside of the technical problems, this game is full on of the option to pay for in-game content for a $70 video game. And people are pretty frustrated by this. And it's understandable. Like there's a lot of people who are voting with their dollar on this one, which makes sense. But what I will just call out is those things you do not have to engage with. There's really no need to. The game has opportunity to buy it with in-game currency or naturally find it within the world. I think that these are things, because again, it's a very unforgiving game at time. It has very weird fast travel mechanics. It has an even stranger save system to it. I think if you are somebody that is a very busy individual, whether it be with work, life, or other hobbies, you maybe don't want to wrestle with some of the stuff, but you are enjoying enough of the game that you want to be able to experience it at your pacing. I think that would make sense if you wanted to, like, sure, I'll buy one of these things to enhance my time with it, but the game doesn't force it. So I'm not here to draw a hard line in the sand. I'm just trying to be as neutral in my statement with it, that it's there if you want it. And there's been a plenty of other, like, Assassin's Creed, Far Cry's that do this.
Also other Capcom games. And
yeah,
I'm not saying I think it's wonderful that they're doing this, but it's just curious that it's this game that has made people so upset. And maybe it's that in conjunction with the technical issues that it has. Cause those are, like, I have a 3080 Ti and a pretty decent AMD processor, and I'm getting like 24 frames a second in the Capitol. And the Capitol is a place that you spend a not insignificant amount of time in.
Yeah.
This may be another reason I haven't been trying to move the main quest line forward so much, is because you are there for a lot of it, at least what I've
you
done
are.
So far.
There, I mean, I have a 4090 and I'm running into some, like, very low performance when I go to highly populated areas that Johnny's talking about myself too. Like, it's rough.
Yeah. So it isn't, you know,
and they put out a post on that. I'm pretty sure they issued a statement. Yeah.
They're, you know, it's video games are always coming in hot and being patched after the fact. So this is, you know, this is just the way it is a lot of times, but especially with, you know, these big AAA games.
I will call out one thing. I think that it's important to note, like, when I don't know a lot about their finances at Capcom, but this story came out a couple of weeks ago. This one's on, this came from March 6th. It's on gameindustries.biz. Capcom is increasing all salaries by around 5%, a 28% rise for new graduate hires as well. And they did say by implemented in fiscal 2024, and while higher starting salary will come into effect in fiscal 2025. So while we might see microtransactions on a single player game, there's not going to be a lot probably added in ongoing content into something like this. So there are ways that they can make more money on it. Whether I agree with it or not, at least they're doing right by the people making the games and offering a more competitive rate in an era where we're seeing more layoffs. Like, I'm not making excuses, but I'm trying to just, again, bring more points to the table in the conversation, because it's easy to get very taken aback by something like this. And there might not be any correlation between these raises and fucking 99 cent coins in this goddamn video game. However, as somebody who has sunk quite a bit of time into it, you've got 30 hours. I'm probably somewhere near or past that. Let me see here. 33.9 hours on my end.
I also have had, like, I've left the game open
for
several hours, I think. So it's probably closer to like 25-ish.
But regardless, we haven't been in a spot where we have to engage with those systems at all. Playing a very big portion of the game.
Yes.
So I do think it's worth noting that if you are on console, you're going to be locked into a lower frame rate. I think performance may vary there also, but they've got patches incoming for it. There's already a mod on PC to get DLSS 3 if you want that. So again, the game is so much fun and it's so charming and weird and wonderful that I'm willing to navigate some of those things as well.
The jank.
Yeah. The jank. But I'm having a hell of a time with it. It's something I'd like to play online for everybody on a stream. I'm wanting to quick look it, but I just end up spending so much time admiring it. But there's a lot of screenshots I've been taking, plenty of stuff with Johnny and Bobby's pawns in the game, so you can check them out. Anything else you want to talk about with Dragon's Dogma before we go through some of these news stories?
No, it's just, it's a It's a fun fucking video game.
Well, Johnny, let's do a quick brief buzz through some of these news stories here and get a little color on them.
Yeah. First up, CD Projekt Red.
Your friends and mine.
Yeah, makers of The Witcher games and Cyberpunk 2077. They came out today, and the story did from Video Games Chronicle that 2/3 of their developers are now working on The Witcher 4, reaching its target staff size. I think they're
This is also using a whole new engine, right? They're going to Unreal.
I believe so. Yeah,
that's interesting to think about what they could be working on if they're not doing a lot of engine work too. They've got that many people.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's still leaves a good chunk of the company to do other stuff.
I hope that they take what happened with Cyberpunk as a good lesson.
I hope that as well.
They turned it around.
They righted the ship. They made good. I still have that installed because I still...
I think that's one of my favorite one of those of all time. Like, I think that game is so good now.
I had so much fun playing it again last year, and I need to get back to it.
Yep.
I was having so much fun. So yeah, they've got 400 people working on it now. That's it. It's just, they're making progress.
Good.
You know, we'll see it when they are ready to show it to us. And GDC happened recently.
It did.
And Larian Studios founder Sven Vinka.
Yes. That's
probably how you say that. Yep. He revealed that Larian is moving away from D&D. They're done with DLC. They're not making any expansions and they have no plans to make Baldur's Gate 4, which if you are any other studio who maybe isn't independent and can enjoy this type of freedom and you just put out mega smash hit Baldur's Gate 3 that wins all of these Game of the Year awards and the Game of the Year at the Game Awards, it's pretty obvious that you're going to be working on Baldur's Gate 4. So I admire his candor and, you know, his determination to say, no, we're going to strike out and do our own things. He has come out and said this has nothing to do with their relationship with Wizards of the Coast, because there's a lot of negative stuff that's been happening.
Also, I think you kind of have to say that
when you're in business, right? Yeah. You know, if you have these partners, you don't necessarily want to disparage them because maybe you do want to work with them someday again.
It's true.
You don't want to burn any bridges, so to speak. So,
also true. Business is a tough gig. It's a tough gig.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Neil Young said it best here, man. It's better to burn out than fade away.
Yeah.
And I think
we'll always have Baldur's Gate 3 and Divinity 1 and 2 are also fantastic games.
There's a lot of game. There's a lot of things in Baldur's Gate I didn't see, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's the game that you can play many times over.
If I want DLC, I'll just play that as the fucking Dark Desire character, whatever it was.
Go in there and have a completely different experience than you did.
Yeah.
Multiple times, multiple playthroughs. So yeah, I'll play whatever they make next. I've enjoyed each Divinity game, what I've played of those, and
I think a lot of people are going to play whatever they make next.
I think so too. They can pretty much do whatever they want.
You know what they should make? You know what they should go do?
What?
They should make fucking Knights of the Old Republic 3.
Oh.
Could you fucking imagine
them dealing with a Star Wars license? I don't think that's the
dude.
We can dream, but
how fucking good would that be?
That'd be great. I don't think that's going to happen, but that'd be great.
Don't you piss on my back.
A man can dream.
Speaking of dreams, BioWare.
Yeah. So BioWare, you know, they haven't had. It's been 10 years since they put out a game that got any kind of positive reception. I don't know if that's fully true.
Are you saying that it was Dragon's Age?
Yeah, it won Game of the Year at multiple outlets. You know, a lot of people really liked
that
game.
You didn't like that game.
I did not like this game, no.
I think that's like a pretty big gap in my library, not liking that one.
Yeah, and with that one, I just reached a certain point. Like, I put all these this time into it, and I was like, I don't care about anything that's happening. I don't really care about any.
Do you think you've been? Do you think if you went back to it, you'd feel different?
I don't know. I own it on PC because it was like given away, or I got it in a bundle or something. I thought about it, but also
I wonder what that would be like now.
It just takes so much time to get going because
wasn't there like a big thing when that game came out? Like, hey, don't spend too much time here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because it doesn't really tell you when to leave.
Way over leveled.
Yeah.
For the next part of the game.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, the project director of Mass Effect 5 has said that the will be made by veterans of the original trilogy. Executive producer, art director, creative director, game director are all trilogy vets. So
I mean, I want that game to be good, man.
Yeah, we never want a game to be bad, right? It's just they haven't. Anthem was a disappointment.
That still hurts.
You know, yeah, it does. Andromeda, I barely played. It was also not received very well.
I thought about going back to it, but I don't think I'm going to do that either.
friend of the show, Mr. Brad Shoemaker, that year for Game of the Year at Giant Bomb, said they killed Mass Effect.
I mean,
which effectively they did for a lot of years. Because think about how massive that series was. It was an event whenever, you know, 2 and 3 came out.
I think outside of like the Switch. I think that was the last. No, I take that back. I'm sorry.
Oh, like Midnight Launch?
For just a game only, but mm-hmm. I mean, I got the PlayStation Midnight Launch.
That was 2013.
I'm sure there's another one. Yeah. Anyway, it's been a while, and they have. I mean, like, I think you could talk to Johnny and I and a lot of others, but for us here on this show, you could talk to us. And depending on the day of the week, I think Mass Effect 2 is probably somewhere in both of our all-time top fives.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
At work on the games channel, someone posted an illustration they had done of Gale from Baldur's Gate. Mm-hmm. And I messaged them because they said they were going to start selling that in their Etsy shop. And I was like, hey, give me a link to your Etsy shop. And they had an illustration of Thane from 2 on their shop. And then it just immediately... Something snapped in my head, and I was like, oh man, Thane was so, because that's the thing about those games is it's the characters, and the moments between the characters that you remember so much. And the last couple things they put out just haven't had that. It felt like they were being pushed in a direction.
Oh, dude, I know. They've like, been soulless.
You know, it's got to be live service. It's got to be this and that, and not playing to what has been BioWare's strength.
I still think it's criminal that they didn't do more with Jade Empire. Jade Empire. Oh my God, dude.
You like that game a lot.
That game fucking rules.
Yeah. You've mentioned it. I bought it. I own it on Steam, but I have not played
it. You should find a way to play that.
What if we could check out, I don't know, we could find a way to maybe do that on a Friday night, like check out a game.
I'll just watch you play.
I know we usually play like a co-op or something, but.
I'll watch. I like to watch.
All right, Jerry Falwell Jr., calm down.
What's wrong with GTA? That documentary
last night. Oh my God. Woo. Sorry. What's going on with Rockstar?
Yeah.
Apparently GTA 6 production is lagging.
They're doing Rockstar things.
They're urging their staff to return to office to
avoid boo
this man, boo this corporation. Because it was supposed to be next year, right? They didn't say when.
Say when.
Yeah. Early 25 is no longer possible. Instead, the target is firmly fall 2025. And most seem confident if hitting that date. This Zach Zuizen from Kotaku is told that there's still a possibility of a delay.
Well, I wonder how that could work out for them in a way, because if it was later, wouldn't that potentially line up with like whatever Sony or Microsoft's doing next? If it hit like holiday.
There's so many things in motion that are not not fully related, but tangentially related. And yeah, and an update to the story. They said it might even slip. It's also possible that it could even slip into 2026 as production reportedly falls behind.
That's wild.
And in February, Jason Schreier of Bloomberg reported that Rockstar was mandating its employees return to work 5 days a week in the office beginning in April. It caught many by surprise and has led to frustration from staff who feel like they're being pushed out after being hired remotely. That's the other thing too, right? Like, you didn't, these aren't necessarily people that have just been there and working from home in the city where the office is. This is,
they've
people,
all moved.
These are people, they've... yeah, like they've moved or they've hired people that never lived in that area to begin with.
Right. That's, I mean, the company that we work for did the same shit.
Yeah. And so if you replace those people, well, there's going to be a delay anyway because someone is coming in to try and continue where they left off, but like they're not going to be familiar with all their internal tool. Like there's so many moving parts and, you know, it's a miracle that any video game gets made at all.
Yeah.
So I don't, it's interesting because, you know, this is, you know, like it or not, this is going to be the biggest thing.
Oh, it's going to be massive.
Yeah. It's going to be inescapable. Yep. It's going to dominate, you know, the games news cycle. Mainstream news is going to cover it.
It could be a sea change in the gaming industry for sure.
Yeah, you know, because Rockstar, when they swing, they usually swing for the fences and do.
And there's been so much around this game from them too.
Yeah, I mean, because it's been 11 years come this fall since GTA 5. And we've had nothing.
It's been longer than that, hasn't it? That game came out on the PS3.
It did. It was fall 2013. It was a month or two. It was a couple months before the new consoles came out.
Fuck.
Because the next gen version of that, still next gen.
When they added first person mode to it.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it eventually made its way to PC. And the online stuff has just been printing money for them.
But dude.
And well, that's the never got any single player DLC. Which
do you think that they just? Do you think there'll be a new GTA Online with this?
I wonder if that is part of the reason that this has taken so long, is because they're trying to figure out what do we do with this? Because
absolutely,
so much of it, like they just keep tacking more and more onto it. So I'm wondering if maybe. Maybe they just have, you know, a skeleton crew that keeps online going and supported, and they have GTA Online 2 or whatever it's called, which is their new thing. I don't know because
they can't fuck that up.
So, but also that's not why I go to Rockstar. I go there for the single player stories, 100%. And I played a bit of online and it's fun.
Yeah, it's just not it's not my shit.
It's not why I love Rockstar games.
I'm not saying this because of an ageism thing. I'm saying it from a time thing. If I was in my late teens, early 20s, and I did not have the commitments that I have, I would be a fucking, I'd be playing the shit out of that all the time.
I did that, but with
Halo, you know, and shit.
Three San Andreas and fucking Vice City. Hundreds of hours into each of those, just fucking around.
Yep.
I can only imagine what I would have done if an online version of that existed.
100%. 100%.
So yeah, it really is just a time thing for me.
It does suck. I hope that, I mean, because there was news, I don't know if it was with Red Dead or not, but they've had to address crunch at that company before.
And publicly. That was a big thing when Red Dead 2 came out. Yep. Jason Schreier again did some excellent reporting talking about, you know, what the development was like, and they swore they were going to change. The Housers are gone.
Yep.
So this is going to be the first non-Hauser led narrative from them, I think maybe ever. You know, and that they did most of the writing on those. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, the satirical tone and stuff.
Well, like
from the little teaser that we saw, it seems like they know what they're doing.
The world's very different than it was in 2011 or 2013.
And we saw like some typical Florida men shit happening.
Oh, yeah. In
that trailer that they showed us. So I think when it comes out, you know, it's probably going to be really good.
Is that a day one pickup for you?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? Like, that's, you know, I've played every single one of these games going all the way back to the PS1. Like, I played those old 2D ones. I spent a ton of time playing those. Even the shitty GTA London 1969 game, which wasn't very good. I played some of that too. So the Rockstar, Bungie, those are two of the ones that have followed me.
Oh, for sure. Life.
Yeah. Were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, I teased the story earlier. Marvel announced an arena shooter. We're going to talk about Overwatch 2.
Yes.
But
talk about that. I didn't watch anything for that. Have you?
I've only seen like a few TikToks on it. It looks like Valorant meets Overwatch, but with Marvel. It's a hero shooter for Marvel.
Okay.
So is it
free to play? Is it cost money?
I don't know that much about it. It's going to be riddled with skins. It's going to be riddled with all that shit. People are going to go fucking crazy with this thing.
Riddled with skins. That sounds so gross.
That's the title.
That's what Hannibal Lecter has in his closet. It's just riddled with skins.
God. Well, it's going to be. But look, I know Overwatch. I've been seeing people say, hey, Overwatch is coming back. I know we got friends of the show that are very into it.
Yeah,
I was super excited about a PvE because I think Overwatch is cool, but toxic. And I don't really want to play the PvP shit, but I think there's some cool stuff with it. So I was excited about PvE. And I also, Johnny, not to bury the lead here, but I thought this was already kind of known.
That was something different, apparently.
Oh, that was the other PvE?
Yeah.
I know that they delayed. I thought it was just delayed indefinitely. Like, hey, we're working on it.
Yeah. So they decided to cancel all future Overwatch 2 PvE and focus instead just on the PvP stuff. It released what was slated to be the first patch of PvE content for the game, with its season 6 invasion. The mission sold so poorly that Blizzard made the decision to axe future PvE content and lay off the majority of the devs involved in those missions.
Jesus.
The poor sales resulted in the devs receiving 0% of the company's profit sharing bonus. That's nice. They were met with mixed reviews. The PvE was a shell of the shell of the PvE experience that was once promised when Overwatch 2 was first announced. And we have a quote from the game director, Aaron Keller, here. It says, "We struggled to find our footing with the hero mission experience early on. Scope grew. We were trying to do too many things at once, and we lost focus." You think about something like this, you know, you spend, you know, months,
mm-hmm.
if you're lucky, years, pretty standard, working on something.
I just think.
And sometimes it doesn't pan out.
Here's the problem.
It sucks. Because I know that, you know, you're not going to play Overwatch 2, but if they had put PvE in there, you might have, but maybe.
I thought PvE was the whole reason they had to make Overwatch 2, and they just couldn't make Overwatch.
Listen, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but things have been a little messy over at Blizzard for a little while. Jason Schreier mentioned him a couple of times, actually has a whole book coming out later this year about Blizzard. So
yikes.
It's, you know, I think when you have a studio that apparently, like, seemingly was so mismanaged. And also, like I said also a minute ago, like, it's a miracle that any game ever comes out. You add the complexity of making a video game on top of a toxic, muddled work environment, and it's going to cause problems.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but you said toxic, muddled work environment. I just wanted to call out that Embracer Group sold Gearbox to 2K today.
They did.
And they confirmed that Borderlands 4 is in development. So we've got we've got that to look forward to as well.
I know those games aren't our cup of tea, but there are people.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over those things.
I get into arguments with people about Tiny Tina on the regular basis.
Well,
not really arguments, but
Johnny, anyway, this is a ton of fun.
That's the news.
That's the news. This little gruesome twosome is going to wrap it up here. We've had a fun week so far. Johnny joined us on Monday night where we hung out with our other co-host, Chase, and we got to check out the demo for Knights in Tight Spaces, and that's going to rule. We cannot wait to play more of it and hopefully talk to James from Ground Shatter here soon. We recorded episode 368 on a Thursday, no less, because we're not streaming tomorrow night. Johnny and I are going to hang out in real life and play some cards with his family.
Right.
And we will be back next Monday, probably with some more Knights in Tight Spaces, because that's who we are here. Johnny, you are doing some really cool shit. What do you got going on?
I do a lot of writing over at harddrive.net and on their more serious section called Minus World. I actually just did an interview with Dan Reichert from Giant Bomb before this podcast with Bobby. And I'm getting to talk to lots of cool people. And
I'm just glad I'm not the weirdest bearded person you talk to tonight.
That's true. That's very true. Usually you are.
Yeah.
But I got to write an article about Uncle John's bathroom reader last week. So
you're a weirdo.
Here we are.
Check out his stuff. It's very good. He needs to send me his URL in a place that I can use it on my PC so I can get him all hooked up there.
I'm gonna send you.
Thank you. And we'll link out to all those things in our show notes in here. So we'll be back next week. We will be playing Knights in Tight Spaces and maybe some Dragon's Dogma, as well as a preview of new games. Johnny, thanks for hanging out. This has been a ton of fun. We'll talk to you all.